Just like that, the noon hour is here. What is going on, beautiful people? Nashville, Middle Tennessee, wherever it is that you stream 104.5 The Zone, whether it's on the 104.5 The Zone app, just go download it. We can go with you wherever it is that you might be. We have talked about the Preds. We have talked about the Titans. We talked specifically about Des Fitzpatrick. But now we're going to get in to Caleb Farley and Elijah Molden and what is going on with their injuries. Plural. Not something that people were expecting when we went out to practice on Saturday. But Lucas, honestly, the more that I scroll on Twitter today, I'm having a hard time focusing today for a variety of reasons. A lot going on. Playoff series tonight. Finally, football, not really practice, but like, you know, something for me to go to and talk about and see Titans players, or as Raymond points out on Twitch, this just in, Dateline Nashville, Tennessee, Titans new players received their new jocks and were shown where the field is. Back with immediate update when they fund the urinals.
I like we're shown where the field is. That's the field.
Well, I mean, low-key, that's kind of what...
Yeah, that's kind of what happened.
That's kind of what happened. Like, right?
A beautiful day to do it.
I mean, yeah, it was lovely out there, but he's not wrong. How else are they going to do it? But I was out there. So between that, like the jock strap update that we've been doing today, and the, what was the tweet that you sent me? Because I want to make sure that I'm accurate on this, because this straight up disturbed me. This was from Cody McClure over the weekend, who you said, yeah, I know. This is from Cody McClure on Twitter, whom you were out with this weekend.
Yeah, I met Cody out at Jason Aldean's Saturday. He is the former co-host of our good friend John Reed at Fox Sports Knoxville, now resides in Nashville.
Okay, so were you with Cody when the subject matter of this tweet was distributed?
No, he tweeted this out on Friday, I believe. I was with him on Saturday.
Okay, so I'm going to read this slowly because I don't want to Ron Burgundy it and say a word that I don't want to say.
Yeah, work around it somehow.
I'm going to try. Listen, I'm a pro. Richard picks. Cody double underscore McClure tweeted, I'm not sure if Nashville is, quote, back to normal, end quote, but an elderly woman on a pedal tavern just threw a sex toy through my sunroof. What the hell was going on downtown this weekend? What happened?
Nothing happened. Nashville's just back.
No, that is not normal behavior. Like Cody's saying, back to normal. Are people are just carrying around?
Yes, I mean, the bachelorette parties.
Bachelorette parties for sure. Like wait, I drove by Hut. Like I was on Church Street, and ironically enough, the Hustler store is on Church Street. I drove by the Hustlers on the way home, and it's jam packed. Like there's a line that you might see outside of a bar on Lower Broadway. Like, Hustlers is popping, and it's all women in there buying stuff for bachelorette parties. You know, why, at what point, you have been in Nashville longer than I have. I have lived here 5 years. So it has always been a little bit, I have always known it, as bachelorette destination. But they're out of control. Like, they are out of their minds. It took me, I live 1.9 miles from this radio station. This radio station is about 2 blocks away. Not even 2 blocks. We're about a block away from Lower Broadway. Like, you have to cross, what, you have to walk across the bridge that goes over, what is that, 40? Where the Gulch is? You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to get my roadways mixed up. But, so 1.9 miles, for all intents and purposes, from Broadway. I had to get from Demumbrian back to my home on Saturday. It took me 45 damn minutes because I was stuck behind one of these sex toy throwing bachelorette parties on a pedal tavern.
They're running out of roads to occupy in Nashville. Like, I remember seeing one in front of Nissan Stadium, just driving by the stadium, like in the parking lot. I'm like, what are you doing here? It's just an empty parking lot at a football stadium. I was at a Civil War battlefield in Franklin. I'm surprised I didn't see one tearing down the pike next to the Carter House.
Do you understand how angry I was? To watch this, to see, and listen, I love it. It's great for our economy. If I was drunk, I would probably enjoy it more. But when I'm sitting in traffic behind these things, like, how are we spending? I don't see anybody biking around Nashville, okay? I see, like, maybe two or three people a week on a bike around Nashville. And yet there's bike lanes everywhere. Why the hell don't we have pedal tavern specific lanes on Nashville roadways to make sure that I'm not stuck behind somebody who's trying to throw a sex toy through my sunroof.
We can't be far from that.
I mean, I don't know. Like the infrastructure in Nashville is not prepared for the amount of bachelorette parties.
They're just going to be rolling through neighborhoods in like Belle Meade blasting Shania Twain, just running out of roads.
Well, this is how I know gentrification is in full effect in my part of the woods. Because North Nashville, you used to never see bachelorette parties. No pedal taverns, no like Music City tour bus, no bird scooters, and now they are everywhere.
An invasive species.
Well, yeah, because the gentrifiers, and I guess I would be considered a gentrifier because I bought a new house in North Nashville, but like the gentrifiers are coming in, buying property, putting up these tall and skinnies overnight, and then flipping them as Airbnbs for all of the bachelorette parties to come in my neighborhood. It's a lot like locust at this point.
Like weeds. Well, weeds taking over a backyard.
Yeah, and they got some of that too based on the smell. So I am deeply concerned with the, like, we talked about this when I did the Nope, okay? I was a little taken aback by being, like, out in public again. Being at a bar, being in a crowded space, being by a dance floor, live music, all of it. Like, it was great, but it took me a second to get comfortable. This is as uncomfortable as I have been in my entire life. People, I tweeted out that we were talking about, you know, Titans rookie minicamp, and now we're talking about bachelorettes and sex toys through a sunroof. Oh, but it's good. Nature is healing. The idea that this is...
Or is it just being destroyed again?
No, it's just mutating. It's not healing. It's mutating. It's like COVID. There's variants. There's variants of what kind of pedal taverns are... Like, you want to talk about variants of anything? How many different mutations of party barges have I seen in the last calendar year? Like, everybody took the pandemic, the 15 months that we've been drowning in this thing, to go back to figure out how many different types of vehicles that they can pile drunk people on and take them around the city of Nashville. I saw a fire truck yesterday, which has to be confusing. Like, if I see a fire truck pulling up behind me, I'm not thinking that it's loaded down with drunk bachelors. I'm thinking that I need to pull over to the side of the road. Like, do they have a working siren on this thing?
That's just too far, man. We can't be using emergency vehicles.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like we're causing, like, problems in Metro Nashville because you've got
the damn line.
You got emergency vehicles out there with normally they have drunk people in them, but now you have drunk people on them.
Like, hanging off them like firemen.
Like... Oh, my God. Oh, Skiddly Bob says, off he goes again. I'm sorry. I'm ADD. What do you want from me? Raymond got me distracted with jockstrap talk, and so then I went from jockstrap to sex toys to bachelorettes. Here we are. Hope you're enjoying your lunch hour, Nashville. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045. By the way, 104.5 The Zone, going to be out on the road this week to broadcast live. 3HL is going to be live at Poncho and Lefty's across the street from Bridgestone Arena ahead of Game 3 of the Preds versus the Hurricanes Stanley Cup playoffs, thanks to our friends at Two Rivers Ford. So that will be exciting as well. But coming up next, as all of the things in Nashville are starting to come back, so too are concerts. And I have some tickets to give away to you. That's coming up next, as well as finally Titans rookie minicamp talk. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. All right. I'm going to tell you how you can win some Kings of Leon tickets here in just a second. And then we're going to talk about Titans rookie minicamp. But in the meantime, we have been talking about all the debaucherous activity that has taken place on Lower Broadway. Now that the capacity restrictions have been removed, now that the mask mandates are gone, everybody is running wild, loose, drunk, and basically naked in the streets. So we go to Titan Man, who has been waiting patiently on the phone, because he has something that he wants to add to the conversation about yet another one of these party barge mutations that has taken to the streets. Good morning, Titan Man.
What's going on, Buck? How you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine.
Wonderful, man. So, yeah, so my family and friends come in for the weekend, and, of course, what do they want to go do? They want to go down to Broadway. So you know, I stay in the suburbs south of town, but decided, okay, I'll come meet some friends. We'll go down there. Complete mayhem. Let me tell you, we saw the monster truck, party bus.
Oh, yeah.
I saw one that had stripper poles on it.
Yep.
And the one that kind of took the cake was the hot tub. The hot tub party bus. It's got a hot tub in it.
Oh,
I couldn't
yeah.
believe what I was seeing, man. Ridiculous.
No, I have seen the Music City Party Tub, as it is known. Thank you for the call, Titan Man. 615-737-1045. I have seen this atrocity, this freak show that is the Music City Party Tub. In fact, I have been flashed by a woman in traffic again. victimized. I got flashed by a woman in the Music City Party Tub, like, just rolling down Rosa Parks. Just driving by the farmer's market on a Saturday. And this thing that I'm certain is the birthplace of COVID, the Music City Party Barge, which is a hot tub that is in the back of a, it's being pulled on the back of a truck. Zach Allen says cesspool tub bus. Yes, that's basically what it is. It is encased in plexiglass, the Music City Party Tub. And it is a full-on hot tub that you can be pulled around in whilst drinking on the streets of Nashville.
Going down to Broadway is like a three-part story, because when you're walking in, like when you're approaching Broadway and all the people, you're just thinking, oh, God, oh, no, why am I doing this? And then you kind of get to wherever you are, and you're there for a little bit, and you have a drink or two, and you say, this is all, and you're having a great time. And then you're leaving Broadway, and you're waiting 30 minutes for an Uber, and you're driving off, and you're just back to that thinking of like, oh, God, that cesspool. Why was I here?
And then you're just made immediately sad by the kind of people that you like.
And it's just a vicious cycle. It just keeps happening.
Some poor girl's been separated from the herd of the Bachelorette. She's crying on a bus bench on the side because, you know, some interaction that she's had has gone poorly.
Like some drunk 40-year-olds playing in the fountain and like a group of people are buying hot dogs.
Which, by the way, because this triggers, and I promise we're going to talk about Titans minicamp here in just a second, but this triggers me in a way that I was not prepared to be triggered today. The disrespect, okay, of all of the drunk people playing in the fountain outside of the Skirmerhorn Symphony Center. This beautiful building.
It's a classy institution.
It is. It's a home for the arts. Okay? And it's just stuck in the middle of this godforsaken stretch of downtown Nashville. Right off 3rd. Like right next to FGL House and all of these other places. And I am looking at the amount of drunk people taking pictures in the fountain, drinking out of the fountain. I'm pretty sure I saw somebody taking a bath in the fountain. And I'm looking at this because I have been to the Skirmerhorn.
Just drinking out of the fountain like animals.
Somebody's pouring a thing of Jose Cuervo margarita mix because they're trying to make a giant margarita out of the fountain. What the hell are we doing here? Like, can we start a petition, a GoFundMe, to get the Skirmerhorn out of downtown Nashville, or at least another block away from Lower Broadway? Because that fountain has been desecrated. It is, the water in that fountain is probably at this point worse than what is taking place in the Music City Party Tub. And I'm pretty sure the next evolution of venereal diseases were born in the Music City Party Tub. Like, I'm deeply concerned. I walked by that the other day, or Saturday, and I was just filled with rage. Because they got a banner outside. You know, come see the Nashville Symphony performing the works of Bach or Beethoven or some great classical musician. And there's somebody peeing into the fountain right next to the damn Skirmerhorn. I hate it so much. So much. Where is Caleb Farley when I need him? Unbelievable.
Yeah, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Just in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. Unbelievable. All right, you want to give away some Kings of Leon tickets, Lucas? Let's do it. Kings of Leon, they have announced concerts are back, baby. 2021 tour dates for the When You See Yourself tour, supporting the groundbreaking new album, When You See Yourself. The tour visits Nashville's Ascend Amphitheater August 12th and 13th. Special guests, Cold War Kids. Tickets go on sale this Friday at Ticketmaster.com, but if you're caller number 5 right now, we will send you to see the Kings of Leon at Ascend Amphitheater this summer. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. 615-737-1045. You guys will go to see the Kings of Leon this coming summer, this coming August, when the concert takes place. I'm so happy to have live music back, and we can send you guys out there as well if you would like to go. So shout out to Kings of Leon for providing us the tickets. It appears, so people are tweeting us in pictures of the Music City Party Tub and all of the other terrible things that are taking place on Lower Broadway. But at this point, I don't think that's a real tweet, so never mind. I'm not going to read it. Anyway, let's talk about rookie minicamp while Lucas is buried amongst the phones trying to get the good people tickets to Kings of Leon. So we talked a little bit about some observations that I had at rookie minicamp for the Titans this weekend. Saturday, they had rookie minicamp Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Media got to attend all of the practice or all of the workout, for lack of a better term, on Saturday. And we spent some time talking about Des Fitzpatrick because he is the person who left the biggest impression on me based on what we got to see. Now, I was focusing on the wide receivers because, of course, Des Fitzpatrick, Racy McMath, draft picks, Kalijah Lipscomb of Vanderbilt, who is not going to be a rookie, but for the purposes of rookie minicamp, he is still eligible to be able to participate. Unfortunate for him because he went in the locker room during the individual drills and appeared to be dealing with some kind of injury. I know that he is, that's got to be disappointing for him. He was having a hard time out there. He's dropping some passes. John Robinson was watching, overseeing the wide receiver drills while Kalijah Lipscomb was struggling with drops. And you felt for him. But I looked at tight ends, wide receivers. I went and watched Rashad Weaver a little bit because he was out there while they work their way through the legal process with the things that he is being accused of at this point. And I wanted to go see the corners. I wanted to go see the defensive backs because I knew Caleb Farley wasn't going to be out there, but I was curious to see Elijah Molden. And when I went over to the secondary area where they were doing their individual drills, Elijah Molden was not there to be found. Elijah Molden was absent from Titans rookie mini camp day two for the vast majority of the day. He was unavailable until like the last 10 minutes of the workout. They were going through some 7-on-7 stuff, and Elijah Molden came out, was in not uniform, but he was in a helmet, shorts, penny, for lack of a better term, did a little bit, got pulled out. He was standing on the sideline or behind the play with defensive backs coach Anthony Midgett, and he was basically walking Molden through what he was seeing or what he had just done and watching things play out in front of him. Now, we did not know until Saturday that Elijah Molden was dealing with something. And so Joe Rexroad asked Mike Vrabel about what the latest was on Elijah Molden because news to us that there was some kind of injury. This was the interaction with Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, Mike, just wondering if you can let us know what's going on, Elijah Molden, why he wasn't out there today.
Elijah did a little bit of work towards the end. And again, you know, Joe, we've been through this for a few years. Everybody each day has a different plan. And so part of Elijah's plan today was to do the walkthrough and then do some of the group and some of the 7-on-7 at the end.
Okay, so injury related then in some form.
Joe, he did some of the practice and did some of the walkthrough. So if there was an injury report, which there's not, I think Robbie would probably come together and say that he was limited.
So that was Mike Vrabel giving the typical response about injuries. Everybody has a plan. Molden's plan on that particular day was to sit out the vast majority, or not maybe sit out. I'm sure he was doing something while everybody else was out on the practice field except for Caleb Farley. So I'm sure they were doing something, but the plan for Molden that particular day was to sit out of the on-field drills and then come out for the last like 10 minutes. So it may not be severe. We don't know. Mike's never going to tell us about injuries. It was good on Joe for pushing him a little bit to get that much out of him. Just an admission that Molden is dealing with an injury. It's more than Mike normally gives us. By the way, who won the tickets? Lucas to go see Kings of Leon.
Robert O'Neill, congratulations.
Robert, congratulations to Robert O'Neill. We appreciate you listening, and we hope you enjoy yourself at Kings of Leon. Now, if you want to call in to talk football, you can do that. 615-737-1045. Now that the tickets are gone, 615-737-1045. I hope Robert enjoys his time at Ascend Amphitheater this summer when Kings of Leon will play. So, with Molden and with Farley, we don't know the severity. We have no earthly idea. No earthly idea how long it could potentially keep them down. I don't imagine it is terribly severe if the designation would be, in theory, limited, and he was out there in some capacity on Saturday. That being said, which are you more concerned with, Farley or Molden? Because I feel like the vast majority of you are going to tell me Farley. But the more that I think about the Molden situation, again, not knowing what the injury is, not knowing the extent or the severity, I am thinking that I'm a little bit concerned with the Elijah Molden situation just for the immediate. If you'd like to weigh in, 615-737-1045. Which one concerns you more?
Because of the unknown, right? I mean, we think we know exactly what the situation is with Caleb Farley, and we know that the Titans clearly were okay with the medicals or they wouldn't have taken him.
No, but
we
it's
have
not,
no idea what's going on with Elijah Molden.
No, but it's not the unknown. I mean, it is the unknown, but it's not the unknown. Like, there are more unknowns about whether Caleb Farley will need a third procedure at this point. The way that I'm looking at this is, and they don't play exactly the same position. They're both defensive backs. Molden is primarily a slot player. Farley will be on the outside whenever it is that he is able to join the lineup. But when you take Caleb Farley in the first round, you are taking, understandably, a bit of a risk. Now, there is a degree of risk with all of these guys. Anytime you take an NFL take a player in the NFL draft, something could happen, whether it's a catastrophic career-ending or season-ending injury, or whether his personality just doesn't acclimate as well to all the rigors that professional football life requires. But Farley, for the purposes of injury, was a bit of a risk. A gamble that I was comfortable with them taking. In fact, if you're going to take a gamble anywhere, you want to take it in the first round when you're just straight up going best player available. So Caleb Farley spoke to us on Saturday, even though he did not participate in the on-field drills, just to kind of give us an update about what he's been doing, what he's been up to, and how anxious he is to get back out there.
Yeah, I'm dying to get back on the football field. And, so that's why, you know, I'm just waking up every day and, you know, putting everything I have to invest in and getting back healthy.
So he's focused on his – oh, sorry. Oh, okay. We just had a I got disoriented. Got
confused. Yeah, we got the tail end of the next question or the start of the next question.
So the question that we're asking you, and if you guys want to weigh in on the phones, you can weigh in on the chat as well on Facebook Live, YouTube, Periscope, and Twitch. Which are you more concerned with? M. Woolds, Mahogany Woolds on Twitter says Molden. Came out of nowhere with that one. Here's why it's Molden for me. Because Farley is a risk, you understand what you're taking, you understand what you're getting, and you are operating under the assumption that the Titans medical staff went through a thorough enough evaluation process to feel comfortable about taking Farley in the first round. They spoke to it as much. Now, again, we don't know what's going on with Molden. Limited would be the designation. He did participate to a small degree, not when we were able to film him. That portion was closed, but we were able to watch him out there. And I'll tell you why I think it's Molden, because with the gamble that you're taking, a little bit of a gamble, the severity of the gamble or the degree of the gamble, you can go back and forth. But I am looking at this and saying, Farley in the first round is fine because you took a defensive back in the third round. They may not play the same position ultimately, but you hedged your bets a little bit. If for whatever reason, Caleb Farley is derailed, then at least in the third round, You took a good player by consensus in Elijah Molden, who has impressed the holy hell out of you in the Zoom meetings pre-draft. So much so that he has spoken with, he talked about it when he was on this show. He came on with us a couple of weeks ago. If you want to check out the podcast, it's the Buck Rising Show in your favorite podcast app. He so much wanted to play for the Titans that he talked about living in the city of Nashville with his girlfriend, that he did probably the most homework, in his own words, the most homework on the Tennessee Titans defense prior to his interviews with them, because he felt like he liked the culture, he liked the vibe, he liked that it's a winning organization, he liked the coaching staff, he likes the players around him, theoretically. And then he ended up getting drafted. Well, it makes a lot of sense for the Titans. If you're going to take Farley there, okay, we have Molden in the third round. If there are any setbacks for whatever reason with Farley, or if the timeline that they are not going to give us, the timeline that he is on, gets delayed for any reason, we have Elijah Molden and he can play. But now Elijah Molden is also dealing with injury. I don't look at him as a one-to-one replacement or one-to-one break glass in case of Caleb Farley emergency player, but I do think that if your first option is gone, your second option becomes that much more important, especially in a draft class where you probably need about four starters for this roster. Farley down, Molden, we are uncertain of. In the immediate, concerns me. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. Eric is in Nashville. He wants to weigh in on this situation. What's going on, Eric? Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just wanted to weigh in. I know you had more concern with the Molden injury and what it could be. I think I'm more concerned with Farley, just to put that out there, with what the Titans showed us over the past two drafts. You know, last year's draft class obviously left a lot to be desired. You know, you had mentioned that hopefully the Titans had done enough research into Farley's injury and they felt confident enough about, you know, what he brings to the table and when he's going to come back. But honestly, I'm not very sure about, you know, the Titans' ability to do research on players based off of what happened last year with our first round draft pick and what could possibly be going on legally with another one of our draft picks this year. But I think Farley not knowing, you know, I've heard from some people that they thought he was going to come back and be ready right after the surgery, and it's just a minor surgery. And then now he's, you know, we don't know if we're going to get him back or when we're going to get him back, or, you know. So I'm more concerned with the Farley injury. I think Molden, the fact that he was able to participate in 7-on-7 at the end of practice speaks a lot. And, I mean, if you're that hurt, you're not coming out there to do that. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, Eric. 615-737-1045. What I'll say is it wasn't like a full-on 7-on-7. Like the quarterback, Brady White from Memphis, wasn't actually throwing the passes. They were just walking through a 7-on-7. And he didn't do all of it. I don't know enough about a player's body movement to say that he was moving gingerly, but he was definitely being handled with great care and put in a drill that was not full speed, that was not contact. So I should add to Eric's point that was indeed the case. But yeah, I think as a fan base, you are entirely entitled to being concerned with how the Titans vet their draft picks based on the last year plus of how these things have kind of gone. Because it's not just he who must not be named in the first round last year. The Rashad Weaver thing brings up many questions. Again, the results of their internal investigation that they did, we may never know. But it is worth noting that they did not know about the Rashad Weaver thing until basically the rest of us did when that Pittsburgh Post-Gazette article dropped. So I understand why for Eric it was Farley more concerning as opposed to Molden. We will wrap up the show. Lucas Panzeca will update the polls, and we'll talk more about the Nashville Predators because there's a big playoff game coming tonight. But I got to remind you, if you're a college student that is looking to get into this industry, you're a college student that wants a career in sports media, because I saw somebody in the comments earlier on Twitch wants a career in sports media, wants to talk crap about sports with his buddies on the radio. Love that. If you want to get involved as a college student, you can sign up today to be a part of 104.5 The Zone's second student broadcaster seminar. It's next Tuesday, May the 25th. You can learn about sports media from our hosts on 104.5 The Zone. It'll be me, J. Martin Ramon, and Don Davenport, Mike Keith, voice of the Titans, and the voice of the Vols, Bob Kessling, will all be there. To sign up for this free seminar, visit 104.5thezone.com. Today, polls on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Preds in Carolina, game one. It's what we're all waiting to get done. Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports, he was on the show earlier. You can check out the podcast, The Buck Rising Show.
He's got the Preds in six.
Yes.
I was very surprised by that, that prediction.
I think we all were.
He made that prediction Friday, too. I was very taken aback.
Well, that's good. He's consistent. Now, he could have lied to us. He could have picked the Preds on Blaine and Mickey and then come on here and picked against him. Nobody would have known.
He was very – well, I would have known. But he was very quick to the answer when I asked him, is this sustainable a couple weeks ago, maybe 1 week ago, and quickly, no.
You feel good about your hockey team? I'm asking you.
I don't think they're going to win this series, but I feel good about them making it competitive. I don't think the Preds are going to go in and fold.
Okay. I would like to see it be competitive. I mean, I'd like them to last as long as they are capable of lasting, because it's good to be able to talk about local sports on a local sports talk show.
Like, I will not be shocked if the Preds win this series. They've been in this position before. Stranger things have happened.
No. Now you're Homer showing. Wait. What do you mean you would not be shocked?
I mean, I would not be shocked. I'm saying I don't think they're going to win the series. I think the Hurricanes are just too good that when they are.
Stop it. Okay, so now we go from orange and white colored glasses to now.
Okay, hold
gold
on.
And
hang
navy.
On a second.
No.
Hang on a second.
No. What's the name of the show?
I don't want to hear it. No.
Yes, because what you're doing is they didn't win a game against Carolina until the last two games of the year. And the last game that they won against Carolina was a game that meant nothing to anybody except Pecorino. So now, all of a sudden, they're going to go and play one of the best teams in the sport, and you wouldn't be shocked to see them win after not winning the first six games that these two teams play? What are you talking
about?
I don't
think they're going to win the series.
Yeah, but you just said you wouldn't be shocked to see them win the series.
Is that such a far-fetched thing to say?
Yes, it's given that they didn't win a game against them until the last two, and the last one didn't really count.
There's something to be said for those last two games, though. And I don't know if we overrate the confidence that that gave the Preds going into the postseason.
Okay. Well, you can hear more homerism on the Preds from Lucas Panzeca on the post-game
the worst.
Live stream.
I literally picked them to lose the series.
No. It's okay. Live stream tonight.
Well, I don't see you calling Doherty a homer. I'm not saying he's a homer, but.
Well, no, because I trust Alex's journalistic instincts. You have none. You can see Lucas. Let me plug this damn thing and let me get out of here. Lucas Panzeca, Will Bowling, and Alex Doherty on the A to Z Sports Facebook and YouTube page, live on 104.5 The Zone's Twitter and Twitch page. So you can look for that immediately after the third period ends. Now, let's do the polls.
Going at my journalistic integrity.
You have none.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Just give me the polls, damn it.
Do the Preds win tonight?
Where's the imaging?
Oh, I forgot.
What the hell? What do you mean you forgot?
I forgot.
What do you mean? Imaging. It's been a week.
Stop the count. The polls have closed and the votes have been tallied. Now, here's your favorite Buck Rising Show correspondent, Lucas Panzeca.
Unbelievable.
I forgot we had imaging.
Root Brian breaks his back to make sure that we sound competent as a radio show.
I feel terrible.
You botched it. Give me the polls.
Is Nashville back? 84% say yes.
Oh, God. I can confirm.
Who wins tonight? 73% say Preds. So there's your homers.
Yeah, but they are allowed to. You are supposed to be some kind of...
I am picking them to lose the series.
No.
I don't think they're good enough.
No.
Think they're going to get enough production from the top two lines.
The people watching on 104.5 The Zone, 104.5 The Zone TV, you can't see the UC Soros jersey that Lucas Panzeca is wearing under the shirt that he has on, but it's there.
I do not own a UC Stars jersey.
Okay, maybe some Predators boxers, perhaps.
I will walk out of this studio.
Some socks.
I will walk out of this studio. Make you come in here and press your own button.
There's a joke there about pressing your own buttons, but I'm not going to make it.
Which Titans rookie injury concerns you the most? 83% say Caleb Farley over Elijah Molden.
Well, sure, because he's the first-round pick, and everybody is caught up with the first-round pick, even if the first-round pick isn't. I mean, he's important, but he's not the most important thing on the roster right now. Most important thing on the roster right now is that you have competent depth behind him to make sure that if things go to hell really quickly with Caleb Farley, that you have something to kind of stay the drop-off talent-wise with Caleb Farley. And you do right now. You have Jackrabbit Jenkins. You have Christian Fulton. You have Kevin Johnson, even though that's a break glass in case of emergency type of play, and Elijah Molden limited at this point.
James Brown says, I'm already chicken little when it comes to Farley.
I understand, again, because of last year, everybody's going to be pissed off until they're not. So I get why there is angst and great concern, but you can't control anything about it at this point. It's out of your hands. Like, go and let football God.
Which Titans rookie will make the most immediate impact? 37%, nearly 500 votes. The majority, 37%, say Caleb Farley. 29%, Dylan Radins. 16%, Dez Fitzpatrick. And 18%, Elijah Molden.
I mean, again, small sample size. I think it's going to be Fitzpatrick. Special teams and offense.
I think there's an argument to be made for Dylan Radins here as well.
I cannot tell you what position he played all weekend, because that would violate the rules.
Radins?
Yes. That would violate the rules of the reporting that we are allowed to do and are not allowed to do at Titans practice, but I will tell you that they are very, very much interested in him getting as much work in as possible.
Do you watch the Stanley Cup playoffs outside of the Preds? Yes or no? 66% say no, only 34% say yes.
Yeah, I did not watch hockey over the weekend. I watched the NBA. The Grizzlies in the play-in game, or the first handful of play-in games between the Celtics, and you saw the Golden. I mean, Steph Curry, he kind of labored to get 46 points, but he got 46 points. Dylan Brooks fouling out of that game, probably the most important play of the game, because they'd done a pretty good job holding him down until then. But I chose the NBA over the NHL, and that is typical. I mean, that's my preference. I don't think that many people are choosing the NBA in general.
I mean, I get it. Like, people aren't as in tune with what happens in the NHL outside of the Preds like they are in the NFL outside of the Titans. But, like, if you're just one of those people that won't watch it unless the Preds are involved, like, you're missing out. You don't have to watch every game, but, my God, that Lightning-Panthers game was one of the best 2.5 hours of sports I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I'm not taking a stand against hockey in general. It's just that if there is a baseball game, a hockey game, and an NBA game on at the same time, I'm probably going to watch the NBA game. But that's just me. Those are the polls?
Those are the polls.
Okay, very good. Fun show today. We will tomorrow have Lindsey Rowley of Bally Sports. That will be a lot of fun because we'll be able to talk about the Predators' success or failures with her, and maybe Lucas's lack of faith in his own hockey team.
Oh, but I'm a homer.
But you are. And Lindsey Rowley will probably confirm that tomorrow, depending on how much you celebrate on the air. But we'll talk about all things Preds tomorrow. I've also got a pretty interesting case study into the Titans wide receiver room at the slot position. We'll explain more of that. But in the meantime, Blaine and Mickey are going to guide you through the rest of your afternoon.